Hello, members. This is Pass Free reaching out to the members of EBC3, coming to you from the 10-10-10 with another Bible study. Just so you know, we will be looking at Exodus chapter 16, verse 2 through verse 15 from the New International Version. And the title of today's Bible study is God Will Provide. But before we get into the Bible study, let me just ask that you pray for Sister Flominda Gabriel and family. Her daughter, Janisha, will be eulogized at a graveside service this Saturday at noon. Please also remember to join us for our prayer meeting on Zoom tonight at 7 o'clock p.m. The WMU will lead us in our Mary Hill Davis program. And as you know, our goal for the program is $1,500. You can go to our website and click on the Mary Hill Davis button and give on our website. And also, you can mail in your gifts to our church. Please remember to get your birthdays and anniversaries in today. So let's get to our Bible study lesson for today. Exodus chapter 16. Verse 2 through verse 15, a New International Version, and the title again is God Will Provide. Let me read the passage for you. The text says, "The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, 'If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days.' So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, 'In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?' And Moses said, 'When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord.' Then Moses said to Aaron, 'Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.' And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, 'I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew was lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" What a powerful, powerful passage given the situation that we're in right now. During this pandemic, it is easy for us to get down on ourselves. There is so much uncertainty about things. We don't have a cure. We don't know whether we or someone we know will get the virus. If we get the virus, we don't know whether we will survive the illness. Almost 200,000 Americans have already died. We don't know when or if things will get back to normal. There is so much uncertainty. And to make matters worse, our leadership in Washington is continuing to give out false information, to spread lies, and increase the stress and the anxiety that people are experiencing because of this pandemic. On top of that, there is the stress of being out in public among people. I know that you feel it. I feel it as well. You want to be sure you're around people who are wearing masks. You want to make sure that your mask is on. I was at the store the other day, and the cashier had her mask covering her mouth, but it wasn't covering her nose. And I suggested that it cover her nose, and she made the adjustment. But, you know, so you have that uncertainty. You don't want to breathe in some disease from someone else. On top of that, there is the stress of parents trying to navigate this new reality for schooling. They have to make sure their kids are safe, have to make sure their kids are on task when it comes to their own online work. And of course, parents have to now deal with trying to set up the online system for their kids and make sure that their kids understand it. It's not an easy situation. And I think about kids who have special needs and kids who are in special ed. Those kids require a different kind of attention and a different kind of setup, and that makes it even more stressful for parents and for educators. And then, of course, there is the stress of being cooped up in the house. No vacations. Nobody is going on a vacation. I'd like to go on a vacation, but my wife doesn't want to go anywhere to a hotel. Then we have to eat out and all of the things that we have to do to sanitize places and to make it safe. It just makes it more stressful. There's little to no outlets. There are little to no outlets for recreation. So no opportunity really to get away, to relax and to take it easy. So we're cooped up. We're dealing with stress. We're trying to adjust to this situation. And then, of course, on top of the pandemic, there are these wildfires burning in the West. Many homes have been destroyed. Lives have been lost due to these wildfires. And then, as you know, these frequent hurricanes in the Gulf region, and most recently, Hurricane Sally, that just wreaked havoc in the Gulf. So when you think about all the stuff that we're experiencing, it's easy to get down on ourselves. It's easy to get frustrated. There is so much uncertainty about things going on right now. And it's difficult for a lot of people to cope. It's difficult for a lot of people to manage their stress, manage their families, and manage their lives. And that brings me again to this text in Exodus, because it teaches that the Israelites know about uncertainty. They're in a situation that I'm sure is very stressful and a source of a tremendous amount of anxiety. Although the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt, life in Egypt was routine and familiar. They were enslaved, but they had daily schedules. They had some place to stay. They had provisions for food. That's why the text says, if only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. So though it was a difficult experience, it was routine. It was familiar. It was different than life in the wilderness. Now the Israelites are free, free from bondage, free from their taskmasters, free from Egypt. And somehow this freedom makes them uneasy. You would think that being set free from a situation where you were treated poorly, where you were treated harshly, would be something to rejoice about. But somehow this freedom makes the Israelites uneasy. They are in a wilderness. Place is barren. It's almost like a desert. Food is scarce. The people are hungry and thirsty. They don't know what the future holds. They don't know where they're headed. And they worry that they will die in the wilderness. Again, they say to Moses and to Aaron, "For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And I tell you, it's difficult dealing with folk when they are hungry and when they are thirsty. It's difficult dealing with folk in our families when they are hungry and when they are thirsty. So magnify that by hundreds of thousands of people in a wilderness that is barren, and the people are hungry, the people are thirsty. What do? They complain. They do what most people would do. They complain. They complain to Moses. They complain to Aaron. They complain to the very men who are responsible for leading them from bondage to freedom. Now look at that. Moses and Aaron have been heroes in the life of the Israelites. Moses stands before Pharaoh and declares God wants the people to be let go. God wants to bring freedom to the people. He garners the energy and the expectations of the Israelites and leads them out of Egypt, leads them across the sea onto dry land, leads them out of bondage to freedom. And these folk have no better thing to do than to complain. Do the Israelites have a right to complain? Well, you might say, well, yes, they're hungry, they're thirsty, and things are uncertain. And I guess when you're a leader, when you're in charge, folk look to you. It's all in your lap, and they turn to you and blame you for everything. But do they have a right to complain? After all, these men have led them to freedom. You would think they might say, well, it's a difficult situation here in the wilderness, but we cannot blame Moses and Aaron for it. After all, we were enslaved in Egypt. They helped to lead us from slavery to freedom. But what is that expression? No good deed goes unpunished. So sometimes when you do your best to help people, when you do your best to serve people, when you do what you think is right, instead of getting praise, sometimes you get complaints. Because sometimes it doesn't matter how much you do, how long you do it, how hard you try, no matter your best intentions, there's always somebody who's upset about something. And I tell you, when folk are hungry and thirsty and they are tired in the wilderness, sometimes that will turn into complaints and it becomes a very uncomfortable situation. What is striking to me about this story is not only do the Israelites complain, they also long for the security and the provisions of Egypt. It's tragic to hear them say, if only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. How dare they suggest that being enslaved in Egypt is better than being free in the wilderness? How dare they suggest that it's better for them to be in a place that is safe and secure when they where they know where their next meal is going to come from, rather than to be free people and struggle to maintain themselves in the space of freedom. But there are some people who would rather be slaves, rather be enslaved, rather be in a situation where they are controlled and have no options than to struggle in a situation where they are free to make their own choices and free to make their own decisions. That's why I like what Jesus does in the Gospels. When Jesus encounters people, he doesn't simply engage in what I would term maintenance ministry, the kind of ministry that maintains people in the status in which he finds them. He engages in what I term transformational ministry. He takes people from their condition and stands them on their feet and allows them to go on and live their lives. And that's a lesson for us, beloved. We are called not just to help people who are sick, who are suffering, who are hurting by giving them things and provisions and leaving them in that same condition. We're called to bring transformation into a person so that that person can stand on her or his own feet and live their lives in the way that God intended. Of course, all this complaining gets the better of Moses and Aaron. You know how it is. Moses and Aaron are probably just as worried as the people are, but they also probably feel that these Israelites are ungrateful. You know, if you've ever been a leader, if you've ever been in charge of a group of people or responsible for the outcome of a situation, then you work hard to help those people. You work hard to serve those people. When those people come to you grumbling and complaining, it can be frustrating. It can be a source of tremendous stress. It can almost lead you to despair. You know, and as I said, Moses and Aaron are in the wilderness also. The people are hungry and thirsty. Moses and Aaron are also hungry and thirsty. They understand what's going on. They know that things are uncertain. They are worried just as the people are about what's going to happen. Where will they get provisions? They are concerned just as the people are concerned about the situation. And so I'm sure it was a difficult situation for Moses and Aaron. And thankfully, in the story, God intervenes. Because after the people complain to Moses and Aaron, the Bible says, then the Lord said to Moses, I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. And that way I will test them whether they will follow my instruction or not. I love what God does. As soon as the complaints are levied against Moses and Aaron, God shows up and speaks to his two leaders. He talks to them and says, basically, don't worry about this situation. I've got you. I've got this situation covered. I am the one who will provide food for the people here in the wilderness. And God also adds a caveat, because God gives specific instructions about how the Israelites are responsible for gathering their food and their provisions. God says, I want them to gather a certain amount for a day and then have only that amount for that day and then gather a certain amount on the next day. God says, I'm using this guideline to test them. I want to be sure that the people are going to follow my instructions and do what I want them to do. Why is that important? If God is going to lead the Israelites through this wilderness situation, God has to be sure that the Israelites will listen, that they will respond to what God wants them to do. This deliverance is God's work. And that's why God shows up and says to Moses and Aaron, I am going to provide the things necessary for the people. I am the one who brought them out of Egypt. And because I'm the one who brought them out of Egypt, I'm the one that's going to ensure that they are cared for. And then another thing about the story is the people need to understand that their complaints are not just against Moses and Aaron. Their complaints are against God. And so Moses says to the people, why are you complaining to us? It was God who brought us out of Egypt. It was God who was responsible for our deliverance. You're not just complaining against us. You're complaining against God. What a powerful point Moses makes, because if God is the one who is in charge of our lives, and if God is the one who is responsible for the things that happen to us, when we start complaining about what we are experiencing, we're effectively saying that God is not doing God's job. We're saying that God is not being as responsible as God should be. So the people are complaining against God. I want to encourage you to be careful when you pray, Be careful when you grumble. Be careful when you complain. It just might be that you're not complaining against persons, human beings you see. You're complaining against God because God might be behind what you're experiencing. So God tells Moses what to say to the people. That's another point that I think is instructive for us. Sometimes when you're in a difficult situation, when you're under stress, when you're under pressure, when the person that you're leading are complaining, when you don't know what to say or what to do, you need to have a conversation with God. Now, Moses and Aaron don't initiate this conversation with God. They become the beneficiaries of God's approach to them about the situation, but the outcome is still the same. Moses and Aaron have a conversation with God. They talk with God about this situation. And I would encourage all of us, when we think that we cannot handle what we're going through, when we're frustrated, when we don't feel that things are going the way we expect them to go, we should have a conversation with God. So prayer is essential. And I know you know that this pandemic has taught all of us about the place, the importance, and the power of prayer. As the song says, just a little talk with Jesus makes everything all right. So God says in this conversation to Moses, with Moses and Aaron, that God will provide meat for the people, and God will provide bread for the people. What a powerful thing. God says, I'm God, not only in Egypt, but I'm God in the wilderness. In fact, I'm God of the wilderness. The people are out there in the wilderness. They see no way possible for meat to be provided or bread to be provided. And what does God do? Look at what God does in the wilderness. In verse 16, the Bible says, in the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. Isn't that something? They hadn't seen any quails. They didn't know any quails were coming. But all of a sudden, in the evening, quails covered the camp. Not a few quails, but enough quails to take care of the hunger and the meat needs of all these Israelites out there in the wilderness. That had to be a bunch of quails. And I know they had a celebration. I know they had a party. I know they were going around saying, party over here, party over there. I know they were excited because there were so many quails and a sufficient number of quails so that they were able to eat meat. And now when they got up in the morning, there was this flaky crust on the ground. And they wondered what this was. They didn't know what it was. They hadn't seen it before. And Moses says to the people, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. So they get meat in the evening. And when they get up in the morning, they get bread. And the bread is all over the ground. Look at God. Bread is all over. Now, they have no ovens out there. They have no utensils out there to make the bread. They don't have to bake the bread. They don't have to knead the dough. They don't have to do anything. God just causes this substance to appear on the ground, and God gives them bread from the ground. Look at that. God will provide from the ground up. God provides from the top down, and God provides from the ground up. The other thing that's important and instructive about this provision of quails and this provision of bread is the provisions come out of nowhere. And so while you might think that when you're in a situation that you can't get out of, that the outcome seems impossible to imagine, God can take an impossible situation and work a miracle. And sometimes when you think your blessing is coming from one direction, you discover your blessing is coming from a place you never imagined. And so that's why I say sometimes, beloved, when we pray, we ought to pray open prayers. What do I mean by open prayers? I mean, we ought to pray, God, whatever your will is, let your will be done. And however you want to work it out, work it out. Don't try to hem God in by your specificity in your prayers, telling God what to do, where to go, when to show up, and how to handle the situation. God has more resources at God's disposal than we can ever fathom or imagine. Let God do what God can do, and let God provide for you. So God doesn't deliver us. This story teaches us that God doesn't deliver us from a difficult situation only to leave us out there by ourselves. God doesn't deliver us without ensuring that we will survive and that we will thrive. This text, this story, is a lesson about divine providence. It's a lesson to remind us that ultimately God is in charge, that God is the sovereign God of the universe, and we need to trust in God's outcome. We've just seen the footage from the impact of Hurricane Sally in Alabama, and parts of Mississippi, and parts of Florida, and other places. And we know Sally is going up to the southeastern section of this country. Well, that hurricane whipped up the ocean, whipped up the water, knocked down trees, knocked down buildings, flooded streets. When you look at that footage and see how powerful nature is, that ought to remind you that God is powerful. That ought to remind you that God is in charge. That ought to remind you of divine providence. And that ought to remind you that your life is significant to God, that your life is in God's hands. And if your life is in the hands of God, you don't have anything to worry about. God can take care of you. The people needed to know that their deliverance is God's doing, and that they just only needed to obey, to trust, and to be patient. And that's what we need to know as well, beloved. Our deliverance is God's doing. Our lives are in God's hands, and we just only need to be patient and trust God. Even when the situation is dire and the outlook is bleak, God can still act in our behalf. This pandemic has wreaked havoc all around the world. Folk are suffering all around the world. And so we have joined in solidarity with people of different cultures, of different countries, of different ethnicities, of different languages, because of this pandemic. We have joined in solidarity with people we don't even know who are struggling with the same crisis that we are facing in this country. But the good news is God is God everywhere. God is God in the United States. God is God in the United Kingdom. God is God in Africa. God is God in Asia. God is God in the Middle East. God is God in Australia. God is God everywhere. And God sees what's going on. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the bad. The other thing is God has not abandoned us. We're into the eighth month of this pandemic. We're into the eighth month of this crisis. And by the grace of God, we're still here. With all the adjustments we've had to make, with all the stresses we have faced, with all the things we've had to endure, we are still here by the grace of God. Now, you might say about almost 200,000 people have died. It could be worse. It could be worse. This pandemic is so widespread, it could have caught up with all of us. God, if God wanted to get us, God could get us, beloved. There's no place where you can hide from God. So the point is, God has not abandoned us because God is in charge. And so I just wanted to share this story with you to remind all of us that God will provide. Yes, God will. God will provide. God will provide in your families. God will provide in your marriages. God will provide with your children. God will provide in your illnesses. God will provide in your rehab. God will provide in your finances. God will provide in your jobs. God will provide in your communities. And God will provide in this pandemic. So I encourage all of you to hold on to hope. God is still in charge, and God is still with all of us. God bless you. Will you join me in prayer? Eternal God, we thank you so much for reminding us that God will provide. Sometimes life is so uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the future holds. Sometimes we worry about the outcome because the situation seems to be so uncertain and so dire. But this lesson teaches us that you see everything, that you've got us covered, that you've got our backs, and that you're in charge. Dear God, give us hope, give us strength, give us courage to continue to hold on, to continue to fight, to continue to do your will. And dear God, we also pray for Flaminda and Leonard Gabriel, that you will comfort their hearts, that you will give them strength as they prepare to say farewell to their daughter, Janisha, and to the members of Ebenezer who know the Gabriels, who have served with them, that we pray that you will comfort them, comfort our churches. Well, we pray for Sister Georgianelle Thomas as she goes through rehab. We pray for Sister Carolyn Redmond as she deals with her illness, and other members of our church who are sick, who are shut in, members who are caring for loved ones at home. We pray for comfort. We pray for strength. We pray for caregivers. We pray for people on the front lines in this country and around the world who are serving us, who are serving our families. And we pray that you will remind us each day that you will provide. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.